perspective. We got the cool, we got the muscle, and you know we effing rule. We are the Geek Grills, we are the Geek Grills, alright. We got the know-how, we got control, we got the knowledge, and we tell you how it rolls. We are the Geek Grills, we are the Geek Grills, alright. We are the Geek Grills, we are the Geek Grills, tonight.
Everyone, we're good. Okay. Hi, welcome to episode 186 of Geek Girls. Geek Girls podcast is supported primarily by our patrons at www.patreon.com/girls. I'm Ray. I'm joined by my co-host Linda.
Hello there.
And Ember.
Hi.
And today's topic is cryptocurrency. But before we dive into that, what have you girls been up to? Whoever wants to go first.
I can go first, sure. I've been sanding the chair. The Capitol chair. The Capitol's... Yeah. It's going. I finally have the right tool. We actually got one of the little angle sanders that Ember suggested. And... now it's just a matter of getting the paint and the stain off of it and then kind of like wiping it down, making sure it's where I want it to be, and then restaining it. And then I can get to putting all of the fabric back on it, because that's going to take a little bit. I've got enough fabric, I think. I may have to go supplement maybe with a little bit of duck cloth, but I think I actually have enough from my own stash that's the right kind of fabric. And so I've got the green kind of leaf pattern that I started with, and I also found this kind of like cream gold that I think will contrast really nicely for like the back and the sides. And so that's going. Let's see. I have finished my full color set of crewmates. So I have one of every color from, like, you know, the original game. There's all my my little crewmates. I am in the midst of working on a puzzle, which actually on it was either Monday or Tuesday, because we had to move. Obviously, we had to move our recording date. And I got into like the puzzle zone. I got like half of a 1,000-piece puzzle done. Because I was just like, peace. And I was listening to like this true crime stuff, which I'm probably going to have to switch away from that, because I've started getting to the point of, if somebody is not exactly where I think they should be, I'm like, are they murdered? And I'm like, okay, it's time to move. Time to get off the true crime for a little bit.
You got to break it up.
Break it up just a little bit. I'm making the first of the iconic women from my new crochet book. I picked Queen Elizabeth II. So at the moment I have basically her like body, and now I'm working on the head. So that's who I picked first out of my 15 that I could pick from. And probably after her, I'll either do Billie Holiday or Audrey Hepburn. They've got like the opposite kind of aesthetic going. Like, you know, Billie Holiday's in her white dress, and then Audrey Hepburn is in her slinky black dress. And I'm like, we'll pick one of those two. And then my Dragons and Beasties order came, and I don't remember if I actually like showed these off. So have my little peanut butter and jelly dragons that were necklaces, but I've made them into earrings so I can wear them together.
Cute.
So it's a little there we go, PB&J dragons. And then I also got a sticker book, which it's smaller than I thought it was going to be, but it's super full. And I've already taken a bunch of stickers out of there. They're really cute. So it's like, you know, you've got all the really adorable, colorful dragons that she's made.
Aww.
You should go check out dragons and beasties. They're really, really adorable. They totally are. Decorated my dice box with dragons with dice stickers. So that's what I've been up to.
Well, I've been down. This weather. It's a long haul of rainy season in North Carolina. We don't get a proper damn winter. So it just rains and rains and rains. And then we had enough time a few weekends ago to get garden beds ready, and it looked like we'd be able to do planting. And then it's been just freezing cold and raining every weekend. So we can't plant anything, and we can't even go outside most of the time. And it's really hard to get out of bed for me when it's like this, let alone the dark. But my joints are angry. So that sucked. And my kid starts in-person school tomorrow, and we're having freezing rain and like all the challenges getting ready to, like, I had to get uniforms and get him a haircut and get masks because they're giving him masks, but I don't know when. And he's got ACTs, and we've got all this prep going on for like one day a week. This is an awful lot of work. I haven't had to do it all year. I mean, we used to have to, you know, I had to get up at 6 every day and drive for an hour and do it twice a day. And we haven't had to. And now it just seems like so much for one freaking day. And then I feel like the only parent in the school who's not going, when are they getting more? When can they have more? When can they go full time? I'm just like, I don't want to die. Can we not open the school while there's new strains? But it's a lonely argument to be having on the parents groups. So been playing well most nights. Not going out as much as we were when things were a little sparser and safer. And I am really enjoying that so much. The story right now makes me so happy. Like the combination of whole new worlds and a big different thing going on, but so many familiar characters from years gone by. And well, that I'm really, really enjoying that. I haven't figured out all the mechanics. There are some buggy. I mean, I got in this late to Shadowlands, but it's buggy. Quests just dropping, disappearing, having to go back and find your way back into them. Just there's a lot of sloppy things. Like there's someone in one of the communities I'm in who lost this quest and contacted support and was like, oh, you got bundled into this group of people that was given this renown catch-up patch, but you weren't playing with this character back then, so it doesn't matter. And it just basically broke his quest line. Like, wow. Like,
yeah.
When they let go of all those programmers for years ago and had that big turnover, I think it's peaking out there. Still good. What else? Valentine's Day. So for Valentine's Day, we did go to an antique mall. That was a really nice way to be a little distanced and wander about. And I got like the super derpy Eeyore. Oh my god. It's this knockoff Eeyore that was sold in some toy company in Ohio. It still had the tags on it, but it's like its eyes are like fuchsia and a little cross-eyed, but it's so squishy. And it was so like pitiful, and I just kept like, Rob's like, you have to have it. You have to have it. I'm like, oh my god, no. Because it does kind of freak me out. It's that derpy. And then we'd walk away to the next booth, and I kept looking back, and it's like, he's like, it's watching us. It doesn't want us to go.
Don't know if this is making better or worse.
Like, damn it. Oh, we can't leave it there. So we brought the derpy Eeyore home, and a beautiful Jack and Sally lunchbox that I was like, I don't need a lunchbox. He's like, you need to have this. The look on your face. I'm like, how would you tell the look on my face? I am wearing a mask. It's like, I mean, but we've been together for like 21 years. So yeah, he could tell. And I wanted it so bad, but I was like, I don't take a lunch anymore. He's like, that could be a purse. I'm like, I got nothing. I got no argument for that. So, and we went to, there's a pizza place in the same little plaza as this antique mall that he's never been to. I've been to once. It's Alino's. It is like fantastic. It's super hot wood-fired oven pizza, like authentically Italian, you know, combinations and sauces, and oh, it was so. Yeah,
that sounds really cool, but for a second I thought you were going to say super hot servers there all the time.
No, super hot ovens.
I was like, where are you going with this, Ember?
The aesthetic.
The aesthetic.
No, I don't do that in restaurants. That's what burlesque shows are for. But it was great, too, because we got there before, like when we were leaving, people started showing up. Mm-hmm. The antique mall closed at 5. We just walked right over, ate, and there was a handful of other people in the whole place, and it's like a big, giant space with long tables. So very, very comfortably distanced. And he was so happy with the pizza, and it was a first for him, which was a nice Valentine's treat when options are so limited. And super economical. I mean, for what less than what we would have paid at some chain like Outback for dinner, I got 2 presents and we got dinner.
Nice.
So that was really nice and weather safe in this shit storm we're in North Carolina. It's mud season.
It's mud season.
It's mud season.
At least it's not mosquito season.
Ugh.
I hate mosquito season.
Yeah, that'll be August.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, if we had proper snow, I'm good with that. I can deal with that. But ice storms, like,
they're
awful.
There's nothing pretty about an ice storm.
Well,
it's just dangerous
and
scary.
Trees.
Oh yeah.
But my
until the trees fall and take out the power lines.
Like it's all I have is the same few trees to look at. Yeah, until they take out the power lines, because my driveway is like a 45-degree angle. So when it gets really icy, we really, really can't go anywhere. We would just slide into the highway if we tried. We once had an anniversary party. And there was an ice storm, and people had to park in the metal shop parking lot next door. And we were, like, escorting people up the hill. Like, we almost needed a rope line
oh, wow.
to walk up, because you can't come up and down our driveway when it gets icy. What have you been up to, Ray?
Well, my folks are in North Georgia, and my dad got COVID. So, which was okay. He got like a mild case, mostly intestinal, but then he got pneumonia. We didn't know he had pneumonia. All we knew is he started to have breathing trouble on week 3 of his COVID adventure.
So that's like,
which
panic.
Is not supposed to be that long. So that's why I missed last week. So I had to go up and, get him to a doctor, then get him to a hospital. Then basically stay with my mom and make sure she's okay, because dad's the primary caregiver. So it's just kind of been stressed, but he got released on Friday. They got him all back up. He didn't get the convalescent therapy. They apparently don't have enough donors for that. So if you can donate blood for that, go ahead and do it. You'll really be helping them out. Apparently there's just a massive shortage of it. So unless you're like in dire, dire need, you won't get it. But I had to get tested because my dad had a negative, a positive, a negative, and a positive. So he had false negatives, which is fun. So I got tested and they were really sweet and gave me like had a turnaround of 24 hours. So I got the your negative on Valentine's Day, but she was so I was able to come home, but I still have to quarantine until Monday just in case. Like, I've had no symptoms, but just in case.
Yeah.
So that's been my adventure mostly. I did watch seasons 1 and 2 of Broadchurch with my mom because we were trying to figure out something that we both liked on Netflix. And I'm like, look, you like David Tennant. I like David Tennant. You like murder mystery stuff. Let's watch Broadchurch. I've been meaning to watch this forever. So it's really good. I need to watch season 3. I just haven't started it yet. Well, no, I started it, but season 1 is definitely good. Season 2, it's interesting because I kind of continue on with the story from season 1, which I wasn't expecting. I was expecting like, oh, each season will have a whole new story. And in season 3, it seems like it's a brand new story, but we're still touching back with previous characters to see how things have changed, which is cool. I got by patches on my Sailor Moon vest, which I don't have with me because it's upstairs. But they are adhered to the vest now. So now I know exactly how many more I need for more punk. My husband politely asked me to stop buying patches. I've spent way too much money on patches. And I'm slowly easing back into drawing. Just because it's been stressful, I haven't been drawing. So at this point, I'm just going through my art book and like inking over old sketches that I've never actually done anything else with other than... So I'm just doing that to try and ease my way back into actually doing stuff. And that's pretty much it. Okay. Sorry, that was probably long. So today we're talking about cryptocurrency. So it's Bitcoin and Dogecoin and all the coins, all the cryptocurrencies you could think of. So I actually, Ember posted a really good documentary. So today ended up being documentary about Bitcoin Day. Because I read through the Wikipedia articles about it. And like I've read some previous articles and my eyes just start to kind of like, after a while, when it starts to get into some of the nitty gritty. But the rise and rise of Bitcoin and banking on Bitcoin are both on YouTube. Pretty informative, kind of break it down and go into some more details about like the impact that it's had. And yeah, it's fiat currency, which if you think about it is kind
it's
of how
currency.
US currency is for
no,
now. Like
it's not.
We're not on a gold. We're not on a gold standard.
Right. But it's not fiat currency. That's kind of
okay.
The point of it.
But it's like, we don't have anything to back up our dollar. We can't take our dollar to the bank and be like, I would like to exchange my dollar for the gold equivalent of that. Like, we don't have that anymore.
Yeah, I've heard
so,
a lot of people discussing it and explanations over the years. And yeah, watching the documentary is a good way to put it, a lot of it in a sequential context of how the story unfolded that I thought would be better to, you know, be prepared for the show and talking about it with other people that don't understand it. Because... And it is mentioned a couple different documentaries. People would say, like, trying to explain cryptocurrency to people don't understand it is like back in the 80s trying to explain what the internet was or in the 90s, sorry, to people who weren't involved in, you know, BBSs and that kind of stuff in the 80s. And then the internet was just like, you already knew how that stuff worked. And then, you know, when everybody in the world could pick up an AOL online disk at the grocery store, trying to explain what the internet was, it's like trying to explain that, but in investments and currencies and
the internet is a series of tubes,
right? But cryptocurrency, it's open source is one of the if you understand what open source is, that's a really good way to look at it. And a lot of people still think we're on gold standard. Or silver standard. I'm old enough to remember, you know, my grandparents had silver certificates and, you know, they did away with that. Why? Because our currency hasn't been backed by anything, tactile, anything hard in a long, long time. None of it is. And around the world. And the term fiat currency is that it's government backed. So, you know, governments, crowns, countries, they have a currency standard. Like we have USD and, you know, other countries have like pesos and francs and the what's the European one?
Euro?
The Euro, when that happened. Mm-hmm. And like, but what that is still, that's fiat currency. And that's basically, it's government backed. So the government has this control over how much is in circulation at any time. And treasuries and World Bank can agree on, okay, this is how much it's worth. And we say it's worth this much. And they had those arguments. And that's why you hear in the news, I'm talking about like, oh, China's artificially inflating their currency because, you know, dollars in one place and dollars in another place don't have the same value. But it's an agreed upon social contract mm-hmm. and fiat currency. It's all controlled by governments. What cryptocurrency means to do and has done was put currency completely in control of the people who invest in it. It's like if you own shares in the company type thing. Anybody who owns a Bitcoin or an Ethereum or whatever owns that part of that agreement. We agree by how many people are investing and how much it's worth. And like that has a cap. Like Bitcoin, there are only ever
2 million.
What's the number? 21 million Bitcoin. There are 21 million Bitcoin out there. So what all these prices and it changes is, you know, you have a Bitcoin, it's worth a fraction of a dollar. It's because there's only ever 21 million that exist.
It's so interesting because in talking about this, it was reminding me of a story I had been told. There's an island, I think it's in the Malaysian, like, archipelago, where their currency either was or still is. I don't know for sure. Their currency are these 8 foot tall, like 1,000 kilo stones. The stones never move, but the people on the island know who owns what stone. And so when they want to buy something, let's say, you know, you want to buy your neighbor's cow, you go, I will give you my stone right there. It'll be your stone and you can give me the cow. And they're fine with that because they have agreed that the stone is worth the cow. And that's their currency. And they have a set number of stones. And there's literally a story about one of the stones was on a boat and a storm rolled in and it fell off of the boat into the ocean. It's still at the bottom of the ocean, but the person who owns the stone, it's changed hands a couple times because they're like, no, that stone is there at the bottom of the ocean and it's still currency. So they can exchange for it even though they don't physically have it.
To me, there's a romanticism to, I mean, that kind of thing is, it's closer. It's a really good analogy for how cryptocurrency works because to me, the first thing my head went to was barter. Right? Like there's an agreed upon, you know, 6 sheep is worth 1 cow, you know, and people just agree that this is worth this because you know what's behind creating it, what's, you know, resources different people have. And so it's like barter. But crypto is such it's a philosophical concept of, okay, we don't want to be subject to the whims of government to control the value of something. We just want to be able to agree on what the value is, and people push forward with this idea. And back when it started, you know, they were talked about mining Bitcoin or mining, you know, whatever cryptocurrency. And I really misunderstood that. I thought it was, you know, just kind of, you know, I understood it was letting them use your system, but it's even more like SETI than I ever imagined. Like you set up your computer to do the transactions because Bitcoin is, everybody hears about blockchain and blockchain is, you know, it's encrypted, but that's not really the technology by which it's encrypted. They use different crypto technologies for each type of coin, depending who started it. But the blockchain in particular, it's a ledger. It's just a big ledger. It's got all those codes in it. That's your little Bitcoin account or your little crypto account. And people that are mining it, that's where your fees go. Like I bought, you know, $50 in Ethereum and I got charged a 50-cent fee. And those fees end up given to the people who are letting their computers run and just hold on to the ledger, just run the ledger. They're just handling the data. It's an open source server, basically, because servers can't handle it. Some of the first startups in Bitcoin crashed and burned because it couldn't handle the transactions. There's a reason that banking systems that are fiat currency, that are supported by governments and trade, you know, exchanges are like, they've been there forever and they've slowly built the infrastructure to handle these transactions. So this crazy idea was like a bunch of hobbyists in their basement, And, you know, as it took off, they just need more and more processing power and to keep it open source, which is its own kind of security because it's encrypted, but there's also insecurity to it. You can't, if you get your Bitcoin stolen, if a hacker gets in and steals your Bitcoin,
yeah,
you're screwed. That is changing. Some of the recent news that has cryptocurrency surging is places like MasterCard, Visa, PayPal, who used to fight it like hell. Some of these places that are letting people spend, trade, and liquidate their cryptocurrencies is changing that in some ways. I learned this like last week because I have some cryptocurrency, and the company I'm buying it through, they only have so much at a time. Like, they're insuring it. Like, when you have money in the bank, a certain amount is insured against fraud or, you know, whatever. Some of these companies that are letting you use their services to handle your investment and get the payouts from your cryptocurrencies are only keeping so many, like, so much of it worth in flow. Like, they leave most of it sit on secure servers, so like it just doesn't get touched. No one can hack into there. It's a closed system. They bring it out into an open system for the trading, but only so much. So only so much of yours is at risk at any given time, and they can always back it up to a certain amount. So that's neat.
Yeah, I know, like, Scott played around with it, I want to say around 2010, 2011. Like, he was just like, oh, let's see what this is, and kind of poke it a bit. I remember asking...
with a stick.
Kind of. Like, yeah. I remember asking him, like, so I heard about mining, and he's like, oh, no, we can't do that. I'm like, why not? He's like, it would take way too much money to, like, get the hardware investment that we don't have at the time, because at the time we had a crappy apartment, and like the energy cost alone would not even begin to cover the amount of energy that we would be using. So I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, no, you're right. And
yeah, because I mean, at the beginning, a handful of people made a shit ton of money on just holding on to it and mining it that way, but transactions also took a week. Then when it took off and there were whole companies forming around just setting up servers for it, there was a whole nother set of, there was chip shortages because they were just buying all the good systems for it. And excuse me, the hobbyists really got locked out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like,
just a little.
All right.
Yeah.
Not really worry too much about it, but I did find it interesting that, like, one of the, when you were talking about, like, how they hold on to it, what was it? It started as a Magic the Gathering trading.
Yeah.
So, and, like, would eventually, like, the guy eventually sold it. Like, he got interested in Bitcoin and then was trying to use it as, like, a faster way to get the Bitcoin so it wouldn't take a week, basically. And he ended up selling it to somebody else. Who basically, like, Mt. Gox, that was it. It was,
yeah,
Mt. Gox was the name. But they ended up not, eventually Mt. Gox ended up not having, I guess, enough
on hand.
Oh,
no, they got
hacked.
No, well, they got hacked, is what happened.
Yeah, he got hacked.
Yeah, but
so
that,
like,
was like...
All the Bitcoins were gone.
And it was rough because
and it was
for years and
so
years, Mt. Gox was the only exchange. For the first couple years of all cryptocurrency, Mt. Gox was the only actual exchange that there was for it, an official exchange, which is one of those things, like, legitimizes it, right? Once it's trade, then you can trade it like stocks. Like, when Chicago legitimized it, there was, you know, a big thing. But for the longest time, and all these startups that were trying to help have people set up point-of-sale systems, for instance, to use it, they all had to go through Mt. Gox. It was the only way to do it. So you'd have to go from Mt. Gox to a bank, to another bank, to whoever served, the point of sale system, and that's why a lot of this stuff was taking like a couple of weeks to exchange hands. And then other, exchanges started getting on board and doing using those or creating more services than Mt. Gox, and people were able to trade it more quickly. But Mt. Gox was the original, and yeah, I was like laughing so hard when I found out, oh my god, it was originally a system to trade Magic the Gathering cards, and it literally stands for Magic the Gathering Online. And then a couple of French guys bought it, and they were expanding it, and then, yeah, they got hacked, and all the coin was gone, and they just completely went under. So the original exchange for cryptocurrency does not exist, and it's so sad, because, I mean, this went from years of struggles of people just standing up, because they philosophically believe it's just the right thing. It's putting money completely in the hands of just ordinary people, and you can let people who don't have access to banking at all can still invest in this, and to lose everything after taking the lead in something so that's turned out to be so world changing is very unfortunate.
And I was really interested. I'm like, huh, okay.
Now, the other really cool thing was learning about Satoshi Nakamoto. So.
Oh, yeah. It's like, question mark. Nobody knows. Yeah. Like, nobody will confess. Nobody knows.
That invented cryptocurrency is, for all intents and purposes, imaginary, as far as anyone knows. Shows up on Reddit, I think it was, with a white paper saying, I got this idea I've been working on, and here's how it would work, and here's the source code. Like, truly open source.
Maybe some people could help me put it together, you know.
Yeah, and nerds just started doing it. And less than 2 years later, and this was like on Halloween of 2009. The last time he posted anywhere was like April of 2011. He just said, you know, I've moved on to other things. And his accounts went silent. And nobody knows who it is.
Yeah, Newsweek like supposedly tracked somebody down. And like that's when his account was reactivated, to just say, I am not that guy, basically.
Yeah, I'm not that Dorian guy. Wrong.
Yeah. Leave that poor man alone. Let him leave his life.
Leave that poor man alone.
But I mean, it's amazing do you remember the first transaction ever?
Yes. It was they bought 2 Papa John's pizzas. Which yeah. I thought was pretty amusing.
Because it was
somebody in London, I believe. They just wanted somebody to do a transaction.
Yeah, and it was just this. Before that, it was just a bunch of nerds going, this is a really cool idea. And they started mining it and making this whole network of people keeping ledgers as if it were a thing, but it didn't really. And they would say, well, I mean, I guess it's worth this. And, you know, it was 30 cents or whatever. Or no, it was like 76 cents or something. And it was like, okay, well, maybe, la la, and I don't know. And then, but it wasn't really technically worth anything until it's like, hey, I will give you a Bitcoin if you buy me a pizza. And somebody was like, all right. And they bought him a pizza. And then all of a sudden it was like, okay, now we have our baseline barter of what this is worth.
Yep. It was 10,000 Bitcoins bought 2 Papa John pizzas.
There you go.
Like, in 2009, so now, right? Like, was the going week? Cost of Bitcoin now is like 1 Bitcoin's like $51,000
it crossed on, I think, Tuesday. And then it dipped a little. But yeah, 1
Bitcoin. Should have kept it.
If they had that much to throw around for pizza.
Oh, yeah, no, but I'm talking about, like, personally, like, we should have just kept one. Just one.
Just one. You think the person that got paid for the pizzas has kept them? And now they're like a millionaire because they have 10,000 bitcoins.
I don't know. It's the guy. It's somebody in London. So it could be the guy who lost his hard drive with like the thousands or billions of dollars of bitcoins on him. He got thrown away. He's trying to like appeal to the government to allow him to go through the landfill to try and find his hard drive. Poor guy.
Yeah. And I wonder about people who spent it on Silk Road. If they have any regrets now that they, you know, snorted a Bitcoin that's worth that much now.
Yes, if for those that are unfamiliar with Silk Road, that was a place on the, was it the regular interweb or was it the dark web?
Dark web. The dark web.
Yeah.
You
quote, quote unquote dark web.
You used a Tor site to access it.
And it's where you could buy drugs. And I believe, I forget what year it got busted.
Let's see.
Was it 2011?
People started using Silk Road a lot in 2011. I think, when did Silk Road? I have the wiki pulled up right now. 2013, they shut it down.
Yeah.
And then it was pumped back up again into another version. And because of course 2.0, because of course it is, and I think it's down, or no, it's 2014 Silk Road 3 Reloaded, 2015 just Silk Road Reloaded. That's the last I see on the wiki article about them.
You know, it's run by nerds.
It is so... Yeah.
Well, that was also a big concern, is because it was being used on Silk Road because it was basically touted as an untraceable currency. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, why not? That's a great way to do that. But everybody else was concerned because it's like, no, we want to be able to use this. But if only criminals are using it,
yeah,
then nobody's going to accept it as a legitimate currency.
Yeah, and a lot of like government organizations and stuff were trying to, and basically politicians were trying to wrap them into one and the other, you know, being synonymous, and that was not the case. So it took a while to legitimize, but you know, real experts like with FinCEN, the Department of the Treasury, you know, just coming on board with it. Like people eventually just had to come on board with, this is legitimate. There's not anything illegal about it. So of course they still went after illegal activities with it, and you know, it made it tricky because of it can, you don't have to use it in a way that's untraceable, but you can use it in ways that are untraceable, and I don't know how that will ever be resolved everywhere.
I like the one guy who's like, Bitcoin is the equivalent of cash in regards to using it for, like...
Yeah, ironically,
you have cash, you go
so
to an
true.
ATM. We don't know what you're going to do with that. We don't know if you're going to buy, like, legal peaches or, like, illegal peaches. We don't know.
Yeah. Exactly. But I love that it's just... Wow. Wow, nerd power. this is actually world-changing.
It reminds me a lot of the recent thing with the stock market, actually. Of just trying to get that power basically into the hands of normal folks.
Yeah, it's definitely the same kind of nerds doing that, like making it so it can't be like when the GameStop stuff was happening and the traders were like, okay, we're going to shut down trading now. You can't trade this anymore. Making it so governments can't and brokers and like, can't have control of that because it's ordinary people that are actually just running the ledgers. Now, that's a complicated thing because as we do have people that we are, services we are using to buy and sell it, they can still do that. They can still do that. They can say, we're not going to trade this anymore. So it's a trade-off. I mean, you can just buy it straight from the currency creators, like Dogecoin, for instance. You can only buy through Dogecoin, and it takes a while, and it's more complicated than using cash or What's another one? PayPal does it now, and Coinbase is another big one. So you get a little more security there and you get faster transactions. But if they get overrun, like there are a lot of cool startups that happen, and Coinbase is actually a very good place to get a news feed about what's going on with crypto day to day. And like I see a startup pop up, and I'm thinking of the ones in that documentary, and like, whew, okay. But I can see in the article this one is prepared for, okay, we are only setting up enough accounts for this that could do this many transactions when we start, because we don't want that to happen to us, where you just get overwhelmed, screwed, and then if the coin disappears, or people divest, you go under. Like the people have learned from the mistakes of people in the past, as with any, new endeavor. But this is like a whole new world. I've seen recently, in the last couple of days, even some real, big wigs in financial world finance all of a sudden going like, I know I said this was crazy, fad, but this
Seems
is
like it's not.
it's probably a better idea than gold right now. Like, this thing is working. So
Also, I absolutely love the idea that like they originally referred to themselves like the people who like early starters and early people who were like interested in this in like late 90s, early 2000s called themselves cypherpunks. And I'm
Cypher.
like, oh, that's so deliciously nerdy. I that's great. That
I
made me so
do.
happy.
Yeah, I'm committed to sticking with it for a little while. I started in December buying into some crypto, and it's just like, you know what? I did. It was like I have my own paycheck, because I did then. It's like, I'm gonna throw $10 at this because I'm really curious what's gonna happen, and it's been doing really well. And it's gonna go up and down. It's volatile, so it's like it's never gonna be like, it's not your retire my retirement account. I mean, it could end up being my retirement account, but it's we're not going out. There's still a pandemic, and so each week, like, we get like $10. That's a beer each that we would have definitely had. Let's throw it at some crypto and see what happens. And right now, this is only the second month. Like, it was, yeah, this is like 2 months in. We're at like a over 30% return right now with two different kinds of coin. Like,
Pretty good.
that's kind of nuts. Like, okay, I'm in, and there's a few more types that are stable and not going anywhere. I mean, there's a lot of garbage crypto out there that you don't know what's going to happen. And it's
Oh,
funny,
yeah.
because like Ethereum is doing great. Ethereum is one that think Visa yesterday was talking about. They're going to get in on it now. And last week, it's Ethereum or Bitcoin that somebody really famous, Jay-Z or
Oh,
somebody.
well, I know Tesla guy was talking about Bitcoin.
Yeah. No, some
Evil Tony Stark.
I know that
Evil Tony Stark.
That's just how he exists in my head.
No, some other like famous figure was invested a ton in it, and it's to give investment opportunity and basically a banking system to African nations where there are not centralized banking systems, to give them that kind of opportunity. And yeah, it's like a couple really good stories like that happened right after I jumped in. So yay,
Yep.
lucky.
Oh, like connected to vaguely is the story about the Zimbabwe hyperinflation, because just didn't basically they didn't know how to what to do. It's like, well, we need more money, so print more money. It got to the point where it's like you had $10,000 notes that were basically worth pennies, and I one of the guys was talking about like I keep one of these in my wallet just to kind of remind me of like what can go wrong with currency? Because I think it was the same guy who had like a bunch of different ones that he collected from around the world. I'm like,
what was the one? What was the country that went bankrupt? Begins with an S.
Was that Zimbabwe?
No, I think it was an S.
Let's see.
But it, like, that was another big cryptocurrency legitimacy surge that happened because this country was totally going bankrupt and the government decided to actually take people's money from the bank to cover their debts and close down all the services so people couldn't get their money out of the bank. And I mean, that was kind of like a holy shit last resort. Like, you can't do that. And all of a sudden, cryptocurrency
India tried to
re-establish
it and basically caused runs on their bank. And that was...
But they shut the banks down so people couldn't get their money because they announced, like, all right, we're gonna just take the people's money. We're going to...
Yeah, because, like, everybody had to trade in all their old bills to get to the new currency. But they didn't have enough, so they just shut them down. But that was... I'm not sure if that's the one you were talking about. I don't know. Bankrupt country with Bitcoin has given me a lot of weird results, so.
Yeah, it was in the, I wish I didn't write this down. It was in that documentary they talked about it. But no, it was like the country was actually going to confiscate funds from all the banks to pay their stuff. And it caused, a run. And then they shut down the services, too. So there was no way to get any of it out. And it was like, ooh. And then all of a sudden people were like, all right, we obviously can't trust the banks because the government can just take them over and take our money out. And it suddenly became a much more popular, viable thing. To use crypto because there are no entities. No entities. Mm-hmm. There's no central entity. There's no owner. There's no management per se. It's totally in the cloud. So, yeah. Legitimacy to peer-to-peer banking. I'm on.
I know in that same documentary they talked about Germany getting really on board with it. And I think they're the first ones to actually like, no, this is cool. We're in, we accept this. And I don't know if China was there yet, but I know they were talking about that, like a lot of people in China are getting invested in Bitcoin.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's been like approved by the government yet.
Right. Right. But that's a really neat map. They have the one with all the. Slime.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, cool. The background on our stream today is a different kind of Bitcoin map that I found to put in. Because it was like, this is cool, nerdy visual graphic of this stuff. I'm on it. So, I hope people understand a little better from listening to us. Like, I really, really felt, and I do recommend the documentaries, because seeing how it happened really helped me have a better grasp on, like, I mean, I know how it works, because I know how investments work. My husband worked for Vectorvest for, like, 10 years or some shit, and, like, so I know some of the in and outs of trading, and a lot of it is very similar to that, just because of the nature of how this currency works. But I didn't quite understand the full philosophical, non-centralized, peer-to-peer, open source, like those kind of programming terms that I get, but I wasn't relating to my understand of how crypto works as well until I watched those. And I totally love that, like, there's a mysterious, perhaps fictional handle of a person that created it and just left it there for the world. Like, bless him. or her, and that the first actual exchange was a Magic the Gathering card trader site. Like, holy shit!
Yeah, I think I was originally introduced to me by like, no, this is like a pure libertarian currency thing because it's like no government involvement, peer to peer. I'm like, okay, that's cool.
Yeah,
Can I
that's
use it
cool.
now? Like, where can I go? Can I buy a dress with this? Like,
Yeah.
but you know.
And I mean, there's an aspect of that I understand and respect, but yeah, there are a lot of people that jumped in early too that were just like, my freedom.
Yeah.
But it was worthless without the work of and the true believers that did all the work and fought the good fight for long enough to legitimize it. And you know, the guy who decided to go ahead and buy somebody a pizza. Change the world, buy a pizza.
Could be
Who
like
knew?
the first tele the f first phone call or the first telegraph that you learn in school. I can't
That's fun. I'm
remember
gonna find
the
out one
first
day.
telegraph though.
I find out one day that it was Satoshi Nakamoto that bought the pizza. I'm just waiting for somebody to ask that question.
Yeah, no, I bought the pizza, man. All right. Well, yeah, if anybody else wants to, feel free to chime at us about any ideas or opinions you have about cryptocurrency. You can always email us at geekgrills@gmail.com. You can also tweet us at geekgrills. And grills, what are you most anticipating right now?
Let's see. Oh, did I leave that? So, whoops. Okay. I am, I guess working some more on my upholstery project and maybe finishing my puzzle. Small steps. That's pretty much all I've kind of got coming up right now.
Now, let me see. I'll be playing more WoW, and I'm kind of finding myself getting back into the pets a little bit. Got my
Oh.
cheat sheet printed out. Like I lost my old one. And hopefully hiking if it gets dry enough, but probably not. But maybe gardening, because I posted pictures of the beds we have ready. If we have at least one day that's dry enough to do any more, I did have some friends that live like a town away ask if they could basically share crop. They want to come over, help make some more beds. Like, I'm terrible to keep my own garden. Can I come and work in yours? Okay, so we started messaging back and forth about like, okay, well, what do you want to grow? Here's what we already have. We don't really have plans to have that much more. Then I would preserve or we would eat, but and so she's been letting me know what they'll eat, and hopefully we'll be able to have some. What a great distance outdoor thing to do. We're gonna have our own little like version of a community garden, just like expand our pod by a couple of people and grow more stuff. So hopefully that starts. BlizzCon starts tomorrow. So we were looking at the schedule today. I'll definitely be watching lot of it. Some neat stuff I mentioned. The cooking segment is a new thing I'm super keen on, obviously, this year. And excuse me, our show Monday I'll be hosting. I'll be talking about BlizzCon. I hope you girls watch some of it too. There's always something of interest to be there. So, yep, that's what I'll be up to.
Question, have you chosen a covenant yet in Shadowlands?
Yeah,
Are you
we're Night Fae.
Night Fae? Okay. Ooh, all right. That's what I'm doing on my alliance too. I just haven't made it all the way through. I did finish Vinthir on my horde, which is super fun. Yeah, so I'm probably gonna be doing some WoW. I'm also planning on doing the Valentine's Day patch on Monster Camp, which was released, and I finally updated it before this. I'm looking forward to actually being able to go out and buy my own groceries, which is weird. But I've been cooped up and I'm done. And maybe have a walk in the park. And then there's something else. Guardians of Destiny is doing a virtual game this Saturday.
Oh, that's right. I did a makeup test for that and I totally forgot.
Yep,
It was this
I initially did not sign up because I wasn't sure if I was still gonna be up at my parents and away from Discord. But since I am here and I got approval, I'm like, yes, I am in. I can do this. So,
Yay, are you gonna be on which side?
I am curiosity. I think you are a Republic because
I
you're
Republic.
clockworking.
y'all.
Yes.
So
They wanted to.
I don't know how much we're actually going to interact, but there you
Yeah.
go.
They wanted to keep it even, and I'm like, oh, okay, well, I'll just fill in what other gap because I haven't really had a chance to look over and get like super invested in a concept. So Scott was teasing me. He's like, is this just another version of Abigail? I'm like, maybe. I've got smithing and academics and leave me alone.
Leave me and leave me alone.
All right.
Well, remember,
Well,
folks, you can always come watch us record live at twitch.tv/geekgrills on most Monday evenings. Our next one will be on
the 22nd. I totally
okay.
forgot to fix that.
February 22nd at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern Time.
In addition to the subs and bits we get on Twitch, we are supported by our amazing patrons. You are the greatest girlfriends on the internet. You can become a patron at www.patreon.com/grills. And don't forget, if you have Amazon Prime, you can sub to us for free every month on Twitch.
And another way to show your support is by leaving us a review. You can do so on any of your podcast catchers. Leaving a review is free and they help our ranking, which helps other people find our podcast. Also, you can join our Facebook page and follow us on Twitter if you'd like to help spread the word.
All right, and where can we find you on the interwebs?
You can find me on Twitch and Instagram under the name madcap_misc. That's MISC. And check out my website store at madcapm.com.
And I can be reached at 9 of 12, that's NINAOF12, on Twitter and Twitch. And you can hear me on the Heresy and Hearsay podcast.
You can find me on Instagram under Dapple Dame and on Twitch as Ray I Know. All right. Well, thanks for listening, everyone, and good game.
Yay,
Diamond Club hopes you
GG.
have enjoyed this program.